listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are indeed, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Sterling.
And I am Paul Strolley, and
you
I am
are.
Hotter than hell,
I
Michael.
Know that. I know that.
I'm wearing Dockers. That's how hot it is.
Well, it's pantsless Thursday. That's what I said.
I don't wear Dockers.
We got to do that.
I don't wear shorts. I made a deal with myself in high school. I would never wear shorts.
I would kill to see you in a pair of shorts.
You never will. Because
why?
I have legs like, as Jenny Jones once put it, she saw my legs. She said, last time I saw legs like that, there was a message tied to them. That's what she said. It's an old, well, for those, for anyone, any of our listeners who remember
really?
Carrier pigeons.
Well, what about those feet alone?
Yeah.
And those are exposed
today.
Let's
not talk about, my feet are exposed.
Yes, they are.
Size 14 gunboat
Show
feet.
Show our guests.
No, it's not.
Please.
No. I have feet for radio, Michael, as they say.
You do.
As they say.
Right.
Why don't you welcome our sponsors?
I will do that. We'd like to acknowledge, ladies and gentlemen, Breakdown Services. They are our title sponsor, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent against, you made me say against, because you stuck that foot up in the air. I'm so sorry.
I didn't want the listeners to know.
Mr. Marsh, I hope you're not listening today.
Okay.
Yes, so I'll just start that over. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, simply visit them at breakdownexpress.com.
We'd also like to thank qualityfootwear.com. No, I'm sorry. We're performingartslive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
That's good. And in studio, ladies and gentlemen, today, he was most recently seen on Broadway in Liza at the Palace, which received a Tony Award for Best Special Event. Past credits include Marilyn, An American Fable, Street Heat, Pedro and Pete, and Beyond Therapy. But we've barely scratched the surface of his storied and accomplished career. Please welcome Cortez Alexander.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How are you? You brought all those people with you.
I know. No wonder it's so hot in here.
Not much room left.
And later in the hour, an award-winning playwright and screenwriter with national and international credits. Her plays have been produced in 4 countries, commissioned, published, and named the winner of over 24 awards, including the Kennedy Center Fund for New American Plays Production Grant and the Laurie Foundation Theater Visionary Award. Here to talk about the L.A. premiere of her political satire, The Return to Morality, please welcome the lovely, the talented Jamie Pacino.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
It's so good to see you.
I'm glad I have his fans.
May I beg your pardon?
I'm happy to be your opening act.
That's right. Thank you very much.
They work cheap.
I thought she said, I'm happy to have his pants. Is that what you said?
It is Pantsless Thursday.
Yes, it is Pantsless Thursday.
Yes, of course. Well, maybe I hope all of our guests are taking that seriously.
Well, speaking of that, tell them who else we got.
Yes, I will. And later in the hour, Paul.
In just a few minutes.
Yes, in just a few minutes. Where am I? I can't even. I'm sweating inside.
That's all right.
In just a few minutes.
Joining us via telephone, one of our favorite guests returns to State of the Arts. Her latest CD release, Come What May, re-release, was described by the New York Times as splendid and sizzling. It further established her reputation as a virtuoso vocalist, possessing impeccable phrasing, a richness and clarity of tone, and an undeniable emotional connection to her always first-rate material. The legendary Rosalind Kind will join us in just a few moments. But first, Michael, how was your week?
How was my week? Thank you for asking, Paul. How was it? You know what? I went to an extraordinary play.
Did you?
Yes, I did. And I'll be very brief about it. We had Sunny Thompson, actress extraordinaire, on our program recently. And Sunny has been traveling the world in a one-woman show called Marilyn Forever Blonde. And it's based on the life of Marilyn Monroe. And she, as I said, one person, this girl, when that lights went down and the curtain went up at the Old Portel Theater, it was like Marilyn was there.
Right.
Truly there. In the serious sense of the way. Yeah. It was actually kind of spooky.
Because you saw the pictures. We had the promotional material for it. And yeah. My first thought when I saw the promotional material was like, how did they get rights to these photos? Because it's like, these are licensed photos. Identical in these pictures. Yeah. I was astounded that it wasn't actually.
And every aspect of the the performance was so down to the nuances of certainly Marilyn herself. And she just sings 17 songs in the show.
Ooh, 17 that's right, because it's musically based. Yeah.
And it was spectacular. Her husband wrote it and directed it, and as I said, they have been all over the world with it.
And the whole reason for having it there was because they're renaming the studio space at the El Portal, the Marilyn Monroe Studio Space, because she went to high school right around the corner, right?
She went to elementary school right behind the El Portal.
Okay.
Maryland.
Yeah. I hang out behind the El Portal.
Well, that's different now, though, today.
What you do there is what
that's another show. Yeah. That's another show. We'll talk about that.
But, it was a fantastic highlight of my week.
Well, good to hear. Good to hear.
Theatrically speaking.
Yeah. I would share my week with you, but it was fairly uneventful, and I'm too excited to talk to our guests.
Well, I am too. She's doing us a favor by calling in today because she's working and
well
in the
now
of all
you
these
give her the other intro that is so that she is so due.
I will do.
Would
that.
You be so kind
I
as
will
to?
Do. I will be so kind. As soon as I can find
it's in red print because it was
is.
What I was
Here
going
it
to
is.
Read.
I
there
see.
You.
That's my problem. A vibrant musical artist, our first guest is familiar to both national and international audiences for her headlining appearances at some of the most prestigious venues, including Lincoln Center, the Greek Theater, and London's Café Royal. In 2006, she made her long-awaited and rapturously received Carnegie Hall debut with her frequent musical collaborator and friend Michael Feinstein. And you can see her live on August 18th. Here in California, she will be appearing in concert at the Grove Theater in Upland, California. Please welcome the incomparable Rosalind Cox.
Rosalind, are you there?
I'm here. How did you get all those people in there, guys?
Well, trust me.
It wasn't easy.
It's never been a better day to be a phone-in, let me tell you that.
It's so hot, isn't it?
It's unbearable.
But I was just in Delaware. You want to talk hot and humidity?
Really?
Oh, my God. My accompanist said he couldn't, David Snyder, couldn't play the piano. It was hard with damp hands. Damp, sticky, because it was outdoors.
Damp hands.
And I had to apologize to the audience, because I don't normally eat my hair. But it was the wind was blowing. My face was sticky from makeup.
I was going to say this is a new act, Rosalind, because
I know.
It's a stand-up. I would
have remembered the hair eating. I definitely remember that.
Yeah. Unbelievable. We got through it. It was great. The wind was fabulous. It's just the stickiness, you know?
Yeah. I have to tell you, I saw you about 2 days ago. I just got Apple TV, and I was flipping through old episodes of Saturday Night Live, and I saw you.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I did, yes. You're on Apple TV on Saturday night.
Oh, my God.
It was wonderful. It was really, really great.
That was when Elliot introduced me as his son Jason's aunt.
Yeah, that was hysterical. It was hysterical. Elliot Gould introduced her. That was just it.
I loved it, because I love family.
Yeah.
But to me, that was the most endearing introduction.
It really was. And you did beautifully. I tell you, it was very. It's like the fourth episode of Saturday Night Live, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. I think it was several seasons into it.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't watch
I think, was it 1976?
Yeah.
Or something like that. 76 or 77 that I did it.
So, okay. So, anyway, tell us about what we can expect at in Upland at the Grove on the 18th. I'm always curious about how performers arrive at what they select for their cabaret. How did you arrive at the songs?
Well, the songs I love. And as a matter of fact, a few of them were arranged for me vocally by Cortez, who you have there in your studio.
Really?
My dear Cortez.
Hi, darling.
Hi, sweetheart. And they're, phenomenal because I've even stretched and I plan on stretching some more with some other tunes for myself vocally. But he did, the arrangements for Speak Low. And Getting to Know You, which are quite different, and Take Me to Places. Well, you got to come and see it.
Yeah.
But I really, me, guys. I only sing songs I can relate to with my heart, because that's how I get to the material. If I can't relate with my heart, then how do I extend that to my audience?
Right.
To believe.
And you do that so well. And let me ask you something. Have you ever appeared at the Grove before?
No, where's Upland?
Well, and wait a minute, I'm sorry.
Is there also a Downland somewhere?
Would you please say where's Upland again for me?
Where's Upland?
You know, it's actually a beautiful theater. And
that's what I'm told. It's owned by the Sam Kinison's family or something?
Yes, and his wife, Sherry Kinison, mm-hmm. is...
Sam Kinison, the comic? Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Yes,
yeah, his family owns the theater, and I've heard wonderful things about it. I just have never been to Upland.
Yes, oh. Well, you will enjoy it. It will be well worth your time, and certainly the audiences up there will totally be thrilled to have you there. But Sherry Kinison will take very good care of you. She's a lovely lady. And
I'm looking forward to meeting her.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell people where they need to go in Upland.
Yes, please. Let them all come from everywhere.
It'll be August 8th.
We'll all be on an adventure. Where's Upland?
If you would like to see Rosalind Kind eat her hair, August 18th. At the Grove Theater. The Grove Theater in Upland. That's 276 East 9th Street in Upland, California. Showtime is 8 p.m. Tickets, Grove Theater. That's the affected British spelling, R-E, grovetheater.com, or by calling 909-920-4343. And we will give that information again before the hour is up.
You know,
terrific.
With music here with Rosalind, we've got Cortez in the studio, we've got
Jamie
this wonderful playwright. Now I want to ask the three of you. Everybody respond to this. Who has been watching the Olympics? Oh, totally. They put their hands up.
They put their hands
on radio.
Jeez. Don't worry, because Rosalind did exactly the same.
Oh, she did.
Yeah. She put her hand up at home.
But you know what?
What did I do? What did I do?
What do you do now? The reason I ask is that the ratings on the Olympics, of course, this year have been through the roof. They have been better than any previous Olympics, including Beijing, right? But
really?
Yes, but they.
But that's actually for the trials themselves, right?
No. For everything.
No.
Yes.
Everything, even the opening. I did watch the opening.
Yes.
Yeah, it was kind of strange.
It was unusual, yeah.
But yeah, was, really unusual.
Even that, though, had a, the ratings of all time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Here we go.
Oh. I remember, the ones back in 84 in the Los Angeles. Wow.
Yeah, that was spectacular.
Those were kind of spectacular days,
and
right?
Now that man that put that on is trying to become president.
Uh-huh.
You know that, Mitt Romney.
I didn't know that...
Wait, he did 84? No, he did later. He did Utah. Yeah.
No, I think he did 84.
Are you? No, didn't he go to Utah to do it when it was in Utah?
I don't know.
Or something?
Yeah, that was 2006 when it was in
Jamie,
Utah.
Jamie, you're the Politico. You're supposed to know this.
I believe she's right. I believe it was Utah.
Utah?
It was Utah.
Yes. Yeah, wasn't Spielberg involved with it in 84? Huh? Didn't we have, like, incredible effects, like, from space in the dark?
I don't know, because everything has been so eclipsed by Beijing now.
Because of the drummers.
It was just amazing. And I didn't know that it was the guy who directed Slumdog. Was the Danny...
Yes.
What is
Boyle.
His name?
Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I should know these
lovely
things.
Lovely last name.
I know. It's not a sharp words.
Related to the...
Boyle!
Yeah, I know.
Boyle!
Dang. But here's
this is
point.
Like $25,000 pyramid. You know.
Oh God.
Kids, put your pants on. Now listen, this is
who taking their pants off? Is it that hot in there?
It is, Ross. The AC is
no idea.
What happened to your air conditioning?
It's went downland. It is.
It's noisy.
So you had to put it off.
Yeah, we did. Yes. But here's the point. I even bring up the Olympics because I just kind of accidentally saw the synchronized swimming.
Uh huh.
Didn't it look a little different to you this time than the last time you ever saw it? The performers themselves, I mean, the skill set is amazing, but the performers are now, the makeup on the girls is like clown makeup now. It is, you can see it 45,000 feet away.
It's got to last underwater. They probably put it on with a Wagner power sprayer. No. You know, I mean.
Well, wait a second. How did they do it years ago when Esther Williams used to do it?
Well, yes, she had.
Remember all those water ballets in her movies?
Yeah, yes. But you know what they used to do with Esther Williams is that they used to, because they filmed it, a lot of times that they would film it in reverse, like her. That's why she'd come up out of the water looking so perfectly,
uh-huh.
because
ah.
they would lower her in and then just reverse the film. They can't do that live. It's more difficult.
We have high def now.
You can't come out of the water.
Oh, that's right. High def makes everybody look terrible.
Oh, yeah. Ever.
You know, I think they should put that away and come back with the other.
Yeah.
Because it shows every little flaw.
Yeah, these days I want to be shot through a mattress, basically. I want a filter about 4 inches thick on this mug.
No, but I'm serious. It just kind of was a little bit of a deterrent, you know, seeing them like that. It was so heavily overmade. And they're bigger than life, you know, on the expressions that, when they're out of the water.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I mean, I think it's one of those things too. It's sort of like my friend Ted. You know Ted Coach from Chicago. Ted did Death of a Salesman with Brian Dennehy, and they filmed it for Showtime, and he hated it because it was just, it's a stage play. It's not meant to be. Your cameras aren't meant to be in that close. So of course, when it was on Showtime, he said it looked like, you know, acting visible from space because it looked so big. But it's just a different medium, you know. So they're playing for the live people, and the cameras are in.
Yes, of course they are. And they were splendid. I don't mean to diminish the sport at all. It was fantastic, you know, but just a look different in high def like this year.
Rosalind, are you going to be doing any synchronized swimming in Upland?
Not, you know something? I haven't done any swimming this summer. Oh, my God. I think the last time I was in a pool was when I was in Florida at my brother's pool. After I finished.
Well,
and that was, what, 2 years ago?
Don't expect synchronized swimming, but expect a
No, but I used to love to do it. When I used to go to the pool, I used to do those strokes like Esther used to do, you know?
Oh, you did?
I used to, those stretch, you know, the side ones, and then put your head up.
I would have paid to see that.
It's so graceful, you know. It's another way of dancing.
It is.
It really is. It's so beautiful.
I haven't. I'm embarrassed to say I haven't seen any of the Olympics yet.
Well, what Miss Rosalind Kind does so very well is sing, and it's your chance, ladies and gentlemen, one more time to see her in concert on August 18th at the Grove Theater in Upland, California.
Where?
Upland, California. You want to know specifically?
It's Upland.
276.
Do we have any directions we can give them?
Turn right.
It's okay. Michael's holding up a map for our listeners.
Please, everybody, check your internet for directions to get there. But come one, come all.
Yeah, that's right. 276 East 9th Street, folks. Upland, California, 91786 is the zip code. We even give that here free. Showtime. 8 p.m. And tickets are easy to get at thegrovetheater.com or by calling 909-920-4343.
Rosalind, thank you so much. We love having you on. Please come back.
My pleasure, guys. I miss seeing you. Too bad we don't have a camera. What is that called again when you have an internet camera? But
Skyping.
You wouldn't want to see me right now.
Skyping.
Well, everyone's got their pants off over here, so it's not pretty.
Yes. I can guarantee you're cooler than we are. Thank you so much, Roz.
Thank you, Roz.
My pleasure. Love you all.
Love you, sweetie. Bye-bye. I'm sorry we didn't get to carpool.
What, sweetie? Yeah, I know. We'll do it another time, sweetie.
Okay, love.
Another time. Keep
Take
cool.
Her
get a nice cold drink.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
She's just a hoot. I love
her. She is. Always.
I love her.
Always fun.
I have to say, working with her, you cannot even imagine. Like, how often do you ever hear, can we raise the key?
Yeah, I was just astounded to hear that. I didn't know that you had any relationship to Rosalind or had worked with her or anything like that.
We met 15 years ago when I was on the road with Liza the first time, and we just like immediately hit it off right away. And then when I moved back to California, we reconnected, and I went and saw her show in Palm Springs, and she said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I think it's terrific." And I said, "I've got some ideas." And she says, "Oh, you have ideas? Let me hear them." And so I went over to her apartment, and I played a couple of things, and we were off to the races, and that's
it.
She's like my total muse. Like, it's wild to do arrangements and with no limitations.
Wow.
That's nice. And I must tell you, because I've seen her in concert, the Getting to Know You arrangement, which you did, I flipped out over that.
Oh, thank you.
You know that song.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie, you know that song from The King and I.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very different. And so it's like hearing it for the first time.
We're going to let her play us off the air too. We have You Keep the Music Playing?
Yes.
We're going to play that.
Lovely voice.
You know, it's funny. She was here the last time. She was here. She gave me a CD to give my mom because my mom was in visiting. And I told my mom that Rosalind Kind was going to be back on, and she was just like, "Paul, in my car, two CDs ever since you gave them to me. I got Rosalind Kind, and I got my quit smoking hypnosis."
Oh.
I was like, "You're listening to the quit smoking hypnosis CD while driving.
That's
this
great.
Is great. Yes.
Yeah. Hypnosis while driving is
exactly.
A good idea.
Exactly. But she loves it. She loves it.
While driving with a cigarette in your mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But let's introduce our next guest. Keeps things moving along. Shall I do the honors,
absolutely.
Michael?
Absolutely. Sure you. Because we've been like on
we've been
the
switching
map.
Back
yes,
and
we
forth.
Have.
It's a catch as catch can day. His vocal group, The Tonics, won 2 Mac Awards and a Backstage Bistro Award for Vocal Group of the Year, and were featured in the PBS special Great Performances, Sondheim, a celebration at Carnegie Hall. His other TV appearances include Comic Relief 7, Rosie O'Donnell Show, Today Show, Good Morning America, as well as over 100 commercials and voiceovers. And you lucky Los Angelinos can see him live at his upcoming performance this Monday. It's a Monday night performance, we should stress that, at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. Please welcome Cortez Alexander.
Woo-hoo!
How are you? How
everybody,
are you?
Sit down, everyone, really.
How are you, aside from hot? How are you?
Excellent. Thank
good,
you very
good.
Much.
So, same question. Your thing at Sterling's, how do you arrive at your content? Do you have a narrative first? Do you pick the songs first? How do you work it?
I kind of backed into this one. I had a list of songs that I wanted to sing and then thought, how can I tie these together to make some sort of sense? And in doing so, I realized that there was sort of a common thread that tied them all together. So that's kind of how it worked.
Okay. All right.
That's it. You know, it's...
And have you seen anything at the Sterling's at the Federal yet?
Yes.
Yes.
I did. I went and saw Jason and Faith. Jason Groth.
Jason Groth, yeah.
And Faith,
Faith
Prince.
Prince. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're ridiculous. I mean, it was so much fun and such a great night. And the room is so beautiful and served them really well. And everybody had a fantastic time.
Yeah. It's a good room. I like the room. And I've said it before, and I don't mean to say anything against the previous space that you were at. Yeah. But there's just something about the cool industrial feel, loft
yeah,
feel.
It's a nice energy
place.
There.
Yeah, it
a
is.
A good feeling when
yeah.
you walk in.
History.
Yes,
history.
That's true. 1926.
Yeah.
Actually,
oldest building in the valley. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really excited, I have to say.
Yeah. And the stage was actually the bank vault.
And it's an actual stage.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
As opposed to a platform.
And there's actual lights.
Yeah.
How about that?
And those
you Broadway guys are so highfalutin with your lights.
Look, we got to take an upgrade wherever you can get it.
And your stage. What a prima donna.
I know. One time we performed, when I was with Liza, we performed in a parking lot at Bloomingdale's.
Really?
Yes. We got there and they were hammering like an instant platform, and they made like this little, like what they use in show choir. Like it was just the worst possible thing
a
in the world.
Skirting around the side.
Yes. Yes. It was hilarious. And you walk on it, and there's like 2x4s that are bouncing.
Oh, pretty.
And, it was wild.
Yeah. Well, that's why they call it show business, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You perform anywhere.
Now, you're performing with a couple of other people, too.
I am. Melissa Bailey and Jennifer Rappo. They're my swell girls. And Jennifer, I saw sing in an open mic, and she has such a beautiful voice, and I just recruited her and said, you got to come with me and let's go. And she said, let's do it. And Melissa Bailey, I met on my first Broadway show, which was Marilyn, an American Fable. There's so much about Marilyn today.
Right.
I know.
Right?
It's a Marilyn theme.
And she played Hedda Hopper, and I hadn't seen her in 20 years. And it turns out that she was a member at my tennis club. And I saw her a year ago walking there, and I was like, you. And we connected right away and haven't let each other out of each other's sights.
That's so nice.
And I'm reading through your bio stuff. You're no slouch with the tennis
That's
either.
That's what I was going to bring up. Yeah.
This is four-time singles champion?
That's
four-time
right.
Four-time singles champion.
Yeah, okay.
At the Lake Tennis Club.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, well, tell my back and my shoulder and, and you know, it's...
Does that explain your amazing tan?
Yeah, I guess it does.
Yeah? Yeah, how often do you play?
I try and play every day.
Really?
If I can. I played yesterday when it was, you know, 280 outside.
Yeah, you were playing outside yesterday?
Yeah, it was very hard.
Yeah.
I had visions of myself on a stretcher. You know, this I'm thinking in my mind, well, this is how a heart attack happens, so you better just stop now.
Oh, man.
Because we have a show on Monday.
Outside. Yeah, there was someone out by my pool at the condo that I live in, and they were laying out yesterday. It was like 106, and they're just laying out. I'm like, you are... dumber than a room full of hair.
You really
can't
are.
Can't imagine anything that stupid in my life. Well, I told you about, I met Peter Riegert that time, and he described what living in Los Angeles was like. Did I tell you about this?
I don't think
Peter Riegert's one of my favorite actors. You know, Peter Riegert from Local Hero and that. And Monica and I were out here like 1 week, and we were at this party, and he was there. And he said, "Oh, you're just new to Los Angeles." And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Let me tell you about what living in Los Angeles is like. You make a drink, you go down to the pool, and then you're 80. I was like, okay. And 16 years later, I realized what he meant, because there's no sense of a passing of time here, because there's no season. It's just anyway, going off on off on a tangent there. Before we forget, not that we're even remotely done with Cortez, but I want to make sure we get this information out there. Sterling's upstairs at the Federal. This will be Monday, August 13th. 6:30 to 7 is the dinner seating with an 8 p.m. performance and reservation only. 818-754-8700. That's 818-754-8700. And of course, the Sterling's upstairs at the Federal is on 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in beautiful, trendy NoHo Arts District, right next to the beautiful El Portal.
That's right. Yes. Right across the street.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry.
He's got such a wonderful background. I really want to touch upon that. And with your group, the Tonics.
Ah.
Now, how often do you perform with the Tonics?
Never. Never.
Who else? No.
It's not because we don't get along. It's just that, it is a little bit. No, I'm kidding. It's everybody just kind of went their separate ways.
Uh-huh.
What happened was, we had Brian Green first. He was the first one to leave, and then we had Michael Coughlin come in, and we did some stuff with him. This is like 10 years ago. And then Liza called, and then when Liza called, that was pretty much the end of it. There was just no way I could do both things at the same time. So we kind of went our separate ways, but we reunited recently for the APLA benefit, the big benefit, the stage benefit that we have every year.
Yeah.
We did it this past year. We hadn't sung together in 20 years, literally the original four.
Oh my gosh.
And it was really a lot of fun, and it was as if no time had passed at all.
I was going to say, yeah.
What's the style of music?
It's sort of pop jazz, I guess. I mean, we do like
a Manhattan Transfer type of thing?
Kind of like that. I mean, in the day, they would compare us to, to Boys to Men, to Manhattan Transfer. Like, we would do sort of contemporary takes on standards with maybe like a pop jazz R&B-ish kind of flavor to it. But like the Getting to Know You chart, Obrazis that you like, that would have been something that we would have tackled and managed to tastefully mangle.
Well, he's such a very smart performer. You know, he's very classy and
yeah, that's what he told me.
Interesting. And I think we have a track from his CD.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Let's give it a
treat to our audience.
Give it a shot.
This give it a little
listen. Cortez Alexander, you like my technical work here?
I do.
I'm just like,
I do.
I don't get out often.
I do.
Just smashing everything here. This is a track. This track is by Cortez Alexander, and
it's
it is called
new CD.
New CD, and the track is called "It's All Right." Awesome. So what's the name of the CD?
Swell.
Swell?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Swell Girls.
Like the
and
Swell
the
Girls.
Swell Show.
Okay. And the Swell Show.
And is this original or is it all original?
Mm-hmm. Well, not everything in the show is original, but that particular song I wrote. And there's original songs. There's everything in there. I mean, there's standards in it. There's original stuff in it. There's theater stuff. I mean, it's just whatever I like is what I do.
Well, I tell you, you also have those... looking on the web, and you also have the coolest website. I love
Isn't
the main
great?
Page of your website with those flipping panels.
Oh,
and everything.
Wow. Thank you
That's
very
really
much.
Great.
That's Eric Pasoja did that for me. It's well, web design.
Very cool and easy to navigate. You know where stuff is. You don't get assaulted by stuff.
Right.
So we're bombarded from so many sides. It's nice to see something so elegant. And
if I only knew how to use it, that's the thing. Hey, whenever I have to update it, it's $80.
Hardly the commercial he was hoping for. No. It's Cortez Alexander, The Swell Show, featuring the Swell Girls, Jennifer Rappo and Melissa Bailey. This is at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. The magic that is Sterling's Upstairs at the
Federal. Thank you, Paul.
On Lancashire Boulevard, 5303 in North Hollywood, NoHo Arts District. That's this Monday night, this next Monday, 6:30 to 7 for dinner, 8 o'clock for the show. Tickets, 818-754-8700. Get the fish and chips while you're there. It's excellent.
You say that every time. You
it's
like
good.
That, huh?
I like fish and good fish and chips because a lot of times it's just a greasy mess, but it was very good there. I enjoyed it.
Well, and we get all the food.
And people, I'm often referred to as a greasy mess. So,
oh,
of course,
really?
Yes.
Exactly. Well, all the food is good there. It's a gastro pub, so they have these amazing, you know, dishes that are kind of California gourmet, and then things that are gourmet but traditional to California, like also hot dogs. I mean, just not an ordinary hot dog.
Gastropub?
I've never heard of that. You never heard of Gastropub?
I've never heard of that.
That also implies the stock of beer that they carry.
Right.
It goes hand in hand with that. They have an amazing, extraordinary offering of beers from all over the world, actually. So it's pretty impressive.
Wow. We had one in Chicago that was actually run entirely by communists. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a Castro pub.
Oh.
Good night. Try the veal. Let's do our sweepstakes, Michael.
Yeah,
should we?
Yeah,
I will time again
okay.
for our state of the art sweepstakes before we talk to the lovely and patient Jamie Pacino is with us. Sponsored by Breakdown Services. Each week we will raffle off a different prize to a fan of state of the art. The prizes are furnished by Breakdown Services and include free yearly subscriptions to Casting About, casting agent directories, free video uploads for actors, headshot retouching, even a free year of unlimited submissions on Actors Access. To enter, all you have to do is like us on the Facebook page, visiting facebook.com/stateofthearts LA. So, Michael, who is the big winner this week?
Round and round, Paul. As she goes. And today's winner.
Gotta get a new sound bite.
Yes,
that's the most anemic.
It's a little
anemic,
a little
spinning
sad
wheel ever. Yes,
spin. Today's winner is Robin
D'Elia.
That's what I was going to say. Yes, from Los Angeles, California. Robin, you will receive a free subscription to Casting About, a full year, Robin. And if you're listening, congratulations. We will alert you through our Facebook page.
Yes,
yee-haw!
We
go.
Being so enthused for Robin D'Elia. Do you know about Casting About? We had them on, but rather than go into detail about what Casting About is, because it's a great service, we'll just tell people to go to Breakdown Express or castingabout.com and read about it there, because it's invaluable for
actors. Totally great service. Yeah.
All righty. In addition to her plays, Splitting Infinity, Waving Goodbye, and Aurora's Motive, do I have that right,
That's
Jim?
Correct.
I do. Her film work includes features for Disney, DreamWorks, Walden Media, and Vanguard Films. For television, she's written for Lifetime and Hallmark Hall of Fame, and she currently writes for the series Fairly Legal on USA Network. Her play, The Return to Morality, is the winner of 8 national awards and is currently enjoying its critically acclaimed L.A. premiere, directed by Mark L. Taylor. Please welcome Jamie Pacino.
It's nice the band stuck around.
What's that?
Yeah.
They do. Well, they don't care who pays them.
That's
they
right.
just stick around. So can you do a nutshell synopsis of Return to Morality if you want to?
I can. Without giving too much away? Yeah, no. It's about a left-leaning college professor who writes a scathing satire of the right, and it winds up getting sort of accidentally published nonfiction. So he becomes the poster boy for everything that he sought to lampoon. And it goes bad for him from there.
Okay.
Without giving too much away.
Bad from him from
it
there.
It goes downland.
It goes downland, yes.
Well-meaning, well-intentioned liberal who gets sort of caught in the maelstrom of his own good intentions.
So I'm curious, though, because it's been, I mean, it's won awards. It's been around. It's produced quite often, right?
It is. You know, it's because it's a political satire. It comes around about every election season. It sees the light of day again. I wrote it in 98. It was first produced in 99, and it was sort of a look at the Clinton mess and the I did not have sex with that woman and all the sort of right that were coming down on him at the time. And it hasn't the bones of it hasn't changed that much. I kept thinking, oh, the 2000 election will roll around and it'll be obsolete. And I guess, you know, the joke's on me because it only got more and more relevant, which is nice as a playwright, but it's sort of depressing as somebody involved in the political process.
Right.
Yeah.
It's depressing for the state of the world.
Jamie, have you caught the television series that is currently on called Political Animals?
I have.
What do you think?
I'm
loving it, actually.
I'm loving it. I was an incredible fan of The West Wing. I could have left that on the air for the next 20 years as far as I was concerned. So I love everything that's sort of politically steeped and has that stuff about how it works from behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I love all that stuff.
And Sigourney Weaver is the star of that, Paul, and our friend Roger Bart. I think we talked about that recently.
And the creator of that show, when I did Tony and Tina, believe it or not, I did Tony and Tina's wedding in Chicago, mm-hmm. and Greg Berlanti was Tony's little brother in that show, and he is the creator of that show.
He is. He's a Northwestern alum, which is how I'm familiar with him.
Yeah. He's just huge now. There was a thing in last year, I think, there was an article in Variety about Greg Berlanti is him standing next to Norman Lear. And it was Greg Berlanti is the new Norman Lear because he had like 5 shows on the air at that time.
Wow.
But he's Facebooking too. He's Facebooking on about Political Animals and just like, oh, watch this episode and everything.
Oh, that's very, cool. Very fun. That's nice.
The reason I asked about it, that it's been produced, and is because if you wrote it in 1998, you said?
Yep, first produced in 1998.
Why do you think it took so long to get here? Is this the LA premiere, right?
You know, you and my mother should have a conversation, which is like, why isn't it coming to Baltimore? Why aren't things here, which is where I grew up? And it's just, I don't have any control over it.
Right.
And Mark Taylor, who's the director of this play, who did such a good job, he read it probably 8 years ago or so, and has been looking for a place to produce it ever since. So he's been sort of stumping around for it. It's just about conditions. It's always right place, right time.
He didn't change the ending or anything.
No, he's not. Thankfully, no.
That's another story.
That's another story,
which we'll hear a little later. Before we forget, let's get the information about how people can attend this. Michael, do you want to do the honors, or do you want me to?
Sure. Go ahead, Paul.
All right. Because I just feel like I'm taking the ball too much on this in terms of giving out the ticket information. People are getting tired of my voice. They'd rather hear your dulcet tones.
Well, I'll do it at the end of the show. We'll do another plug. How about that?
This is The Return to Morality, directed by Mark L. Taylor and written by Jamie Pacino. It's August 3rd through September 8th, so it just opened last week. Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3. This is the production company is the producing entity, and it's at the Lex Theater, 6760 Lexington Avenue in Hollywood, California, 90038. For tickets, you can you can email them at mail@theprodco.com. That's mail@theprodco.com, or you can call 310-869-7546, 310-869-7546. Production company. We see that name all the time.
Yeah.
Production company. And I don't mean just in general for the industry. I mean that.
Yeah, no. That's right in the heart of the Santa Monica Theater Row area.
Lexington? Santa Monica and Highland.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's great. They've been wonderful.
Yep. Have they done any of your other work before?
They haven't. This is my first introduction to them, too.
Really?
Yep. It was great. Mark had a relationship with them, the director, and so he took the play to them, and they realized that it was a great fit for them and their season and the timing and everything, so it worked out great.
So now Fairly Legal, how is that going
best
for you?
Best time. It was my first staffing job. I loved it. We're waiting to hear if it's going to come back with all of us with our fingers crossed. But it was great. You know, I've been doing TV movies and some features, which you get to do at home by yourself, which is great until you realize I'm lonely and I like people. I'd like to get out again and see people and collaborate with them like you do at the theater. And this was like that. It's a bunch of writers around a room banging out a story.
Wow.
And great, great showrunner named Peter Acco. And we had a fantastic time.
Where does that shoot?
Vancouver.
Oh, okay.
Which, ironically, is how I wound up meeting the lead in The Return to Morality. He was in my episode as sort of the lead guest star. I was up in Vancouver. We started talking. It's Kevin Weissman, who had been an Alias for many years. And he does tons and tons of episodic work. And we were talking, you know, at the craft service table. And we were talking about theater because he does a lot of theater. And I mentioned that this was going up. And I suddenly realized, you know what, you're perfect for this part.
Oh, wow. So he just came down and read for it and that was it?
I gave him the play. He fell in love with it. And we did the scheduling and all of that worked out great. And he's fantastic in it.
Is he?
He's great.
Oh, man.
So, you know, that's kind of the male version of finding Lana Turner at the soda shop here.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly
at the
like
craft
that.
Service table.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Did he have a short skirt on or was it?
He did not. He had a really nice jacket, the wardrobe at the
end. Wrong city.
Wrong city. Yeah. You know, because you had said something, Jamie and I are Facebook friends, and she had said something on Facebook about the realization, the actualization of characters that you create just coming to life, because you went up when they filmed your episode, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. It's fantastic.
I mean, that was just, that to me would just be so surreal. What was that experience like?
Up in Vancouver was so fun because I've been on set before of stuff that I've written, but I've never been on set where they create a whole, they had this, it was a airplane manufacturer, and they created like a Boeing-like place out of nothing, out of a warehouse, and there was the logo and the coffee mugs and the screensavers, and it was just incredible. I was so like a kid in the candy jar.
Oh, yeah.
I have pictures of it that I show anybody.
Oh, man, no, because I would be all over that. Because you just like, when something, you just think of something and it just comes out of your imagination, and then to see it actualized has to just be like
it
so
is.
Weird.
Well, and I've always been, the first time I was in tech for one of my plays where they had the lights and the costumes and everything, I remember sitting there and watching actors running lines and costumers like sewing something up and people hammering things, and I thought, this is my fault. Like, I did this, you know, a year or so ago, I had this idea and I started typing, and then all these people are scurrying around making it. That is so gratifying.
But that's sort of the trade-off. That's the positive trade-off versus something that
it's
you'll talk
fault.
About at the end,
oh, yes.
Which is when you throw things out into the universe, sometimes
right.
you don't get back what you expected.
That's right. Well, and also I've been in tech where I go, they all think this is my fault. I have to leave it.
Oh,
I did
funny.
This, right? It was worse.
That is
do
funny.
You ever have, as a writer, do you ever, in any medium that you're writing for, do you ever have the actors coming up to you and saying, Jamie, I have a problem with this line.
You
I
know
really
what?
Can't say it.
I'm one of the weird playwrights that actually really likes that. I love, but I started as an actor, so I know what that's like when you're like, I don't have the ramp to get to this line, or I don't have the right, the language is wrong, or I've been thinking about it, I've been living with this part, and I think this other thing could happen here. I don't always do it, but I love having that kind of engagement. That's why I like being back in the room again. That writer's room is so exciting because people will challenge you and ask you these questions, and you have to really sort of defend yourself and figure out what you really meant.
But you said you don't always comply necessarily with the request. What happens when you don't? Does the person that asks you...
Well, the nice thing about theater is they have to do your play the way that you said it.
Well, yes, the play. Well, so they say.
If you're on set, it's as if you're not there.
Right.
And often you're not there, so it doesn't really matter at all. And the actors and the directors have a different responsibility, and they have a different level of power mm-hmm. in film and TV than they do on the stage, where the writer's word is really the sort of bottom line, what you have to do. And you have to respect it, and you have to get out of their hair and their process. And sometimes it's really hard, and sometimes it's okay.
Yeah. Too many filters in film and television. Too many people stick their hands in the pot.
Yeah.
You know, and in theater, you know... You've got the word, and you have the people there listening to the word.
Well,
obviously,
I
you have direction. And
yeah, I think the word in theater is a little more sacred, perhaps, than in film and television.
I mean, they're just literally not allowed. In the theater, they're not allowed to change the words without your permission, and that's not the case in film.
Right.
So.
Though I don't know if that holds true, what you just said, in theater, because you don't know when your play is going on,
that's
what is
true.
Happening.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk
story,
about that.
Right?
She has a great tale to tell,
is
related to this thing that we keep teasing over and over again. About this thing.
And you were never an actress?
I was.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, you
yes.
were an actress. Did I miss that? Did we say that?
I did.
No.
Well, that's how I started. I was as an actress from the time I was born, if you ask most people. But I went to school for it, and I did it in Chicago. That's how I met Paul years and years ago.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Wonderful.
And sort of morphed into a playwright simultaneously.
And Paul is quite a good writer, you know.
Absolutely.
So we have all this talent, and amazing talent. Everybody's a writer.
Yeah,
I am not.
Thank
well,
you.
I'm a writer,
you,
but I'm
just
not,
read, dude. That's
right.
Just read
like
the
this.
Cards. Just read the cards. Paul's a good writer. More
Jamie's a good writer.
But you have the nicest shirt.
I do,
right.
Don't I?
I do.
And you know, it was starched when I came in here, but now look at it. It's just like, you know, it's damp.
Yeah, and
it's
I was smart enough to wear dark blue today.
But so it's a thin fabric. It's actually very nice. I mean,
it's silk.
Tell you about that.
It's silk.
It goes with your lovely hair.
It's the Tom.
Dark blue.
Weathered and faded. Yes, my dark blue hair. I'm going for the Italian Smurf
look.
Thing. Yeah. Smurfino, the Italian Smurf. We have a little bit of time. We should baptize our guests and ask them to share their tales.
Because I think they've got some good stories.
I think they do,
they?
And I want to give enough time to this.
All right.
Cortez, we could start with you. We always like to ask our in-studio guests about a... on-stage disaster that happened or some mishap, and you said in the lobby, how much time do you have?
Right.
So, you know, you have a great
in fact, I'm
well
of,
to
I'm,
pull from.
I'm actually trying to think of a time when something didn't happen. Which
it'd be harder to find.
I guess one of the things that something that was just horrifying was when I was first with Liza, 10 years ago or 12 years ago, there was a transition where we would leave the stage and then we would come back out, and she came out in this big, beautiful ball gown, and we came out in these beautiful black suits, and it was a very, very, very quick change for all of us. And one of the first shows, I think we were in, might have been like in Uruguay or someplace like that. I don't know where it was, but somewhere where English was not spoken. And we all came out, and we're singing the thing, and nobody is realizing, because we're just trying to remember the lyrics, remember the blocking and the staging, and like just get through it is what the thing is. And I'm sensing that people are snickering, and I'm not really understanding why. And the blocking of it is she's in the center in the spotlight in this beautiful ball gown, and then the four of us are in these black suits, and we're in a like bathed in a blue light, trying to be all sexy and suave and do the oohs and ahs, high low style behind her. And when I left the stage, I realized that I had tucked my white shirt into my pants, but did not zip them up. So the tail of my white shirt was just like, that's all you could see.
Oh.
It's a black suit. Everything's all black and dark except for this white tail sticking through my pants. And I had no idea.
Oh, man. So it might as well have had its own special.
Yeah, it really was. It was so horrible.
Well, it could have been a little worse than that, bad. But you know. It was the white shirt.
It was,
yeah. Oh, that would have been a different kind of shirt.
Yeah, oh, different. But they probably would have understood that in Uruguay. Right? Yeah. No English necessary.
No. Yeah. It's a universal language. Okay. When we were in the lobby, I was asking Jamie about performance nightmares, and she said, "Well, I do have a playwright nightmare."
I've had performance nightmares. The playwright nightmare is a really good one,
but it's fascinating.
I was flown in to go see a play of mine being performed, and the director picked me up from the airport. And as we were driving to the show, he said, "I think you're going to be surprised." And I thought, I think that's the last thing that a playwright wants to be on the way to a theater, yeah. To the way to a show.
Especially on the way to a performance. Not
a rehearsal.
Yes,
not, right. he was very proud of it. And I thought, okay. And I got there and I watched the play, and they had added to the play and they had changed the ending.
Without
my permission or knowledge.
Yeah.
So that was unusual.
And what happens in a case like that?
Well, in this case, it was really complicated because it was an adaptation of a book, and I only had the rights to the adaptation that I wrote. Not and he, the author of the book, which is a bestseller, had given me the rights to the permission as it was, and so I didn't have the permission to add or change the ending. Plus, I didn't really agree with what they had done to add and to change the ending, and so I had to have a really complicated conversation with the producers.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it was the third week of a 4-week run.
Oh,
wow!
So this had been going on for quite some time, and I had friends in that city who had seen it and had said, "Wow, it was a really good show." And then when I told them, I was like, "Hey, how could you not have told me this?" They were like, "We didn't know. We thought you wanted it that way," and we were all confused by the ending. And I was like, "Okay, great." So everybody thinks that I blew the ending.
So they were familiar with the source material, and they saw where, and they...
They were like, that's curious. That's a curious ending.
Oh,
and I was like, that wasn't really my intention.
Those are friends, but I would have been all over.
I don't think
why'd
they knew
this?
My adaptation.
Okay. Oh, gotcha.
But
gotcha.
I think that they looked at the play, and they were like, that's curious.
You said they added a rap number?
Well, okay, so... It was
straying away a little from it. Yeah.
It wasn't that far away. It was an adaptation of Studs Terkel's book Race.
Okay.
And in it, there's this great monologue of this kid's true story, not even a monologue, an oral history piece about this kid who was trying to get himself out of a bad situation by becoming a rapper. And in it, he's not a very good rapper. Like, his lyrics just aren't that good. And we thought it was really charming, so we put a teeny bit of the rap in there. He, the actor, had been so inspired by this kid's sort of journey to self-discovery and to get himself out that he wrote like 5 minutes more of the rap and performed it. Politically, I kind of agreed with what the message was of what he wrote, but the whole idea was that I had kept myself out of it politically and that I wasn't involved in trying to tell the audience what to think, particularly in an issue like race.
Right.
I don't want you to think that I think this, now you should think this.
Yeah.
And I teach occasionally, it's like, I don't want it when the playwright walks on stage and tells you what to think about a play.
Right.
And that's exactly what
And all of a sudden, because of this move on the part of that actor, you're on a soapbox that you didn't know you were on.
Right. And my adaptation is jeopardized, and it's, you know, sort of misrepresenting my play.
Oh, man. So. I would have been batshit crazy.
He owed.
I would have been just a basket case.
Yeah.
It was rough.
That must be unnerving.
But I'm not nearly as pleasant as Jamie.
Well, you know, folks, you can come to see this woman's wonderful work, which is on stage now through September 8th.
Verbatim.
Yes.
With no surprise ending.
Verbatim. It is called The Return to Morality, directed by Mark Taylor.
It opened August 3rd, so it's just been up for just about a week. And it's Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. for tickets. Simply go to theprodco.com or call 1-800-838-3006.
And I understand at the newly added Saturday matinee, there's a water ballet. So I'm very excited to see that.
Synchronized, you think?
Yes, well, that would be nice. Of course. And Cortez, or you tell him, Michael.
Cortez Alexander, The Swell Show, featuring the Swell Girls, Jennifer Rappo and Melissa Bailey. And this is a very special event, ladies and gentlemen, at my supper club in the NoHo Arts District in the very trendy part of North Hollywood. And it is called Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. That happens Monday, August 13th. Dinner seating, 6:30 to 7 p.m., 8 p.m. performance. And it will be spectacular, I assure you. By reservation only, 818-754-8700.
Jamie came and saw
us. I did. I saw him at the Coterie, and the Swell Girls are swell, and you're fantastic.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
Great. Go, go, go.
Thank you.
And nice. I like the fact that you got offerings up on Monday nights, because there's some, you know, people looking for something to do, which is normally a dark
night.
Exactly.
So we're making that all happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, with people like this. That
Wonderful. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you
great
so
having
much.
You.
Thank you.
We're going to let our first guest of the afternoon play us off the air with, this is Rosalind Kind, and the song is called How Do You Keep the Music Playing? Love her voice. Love her voice.
Thank you,
pleasure.
Paul.
Michael, always a pleasure to share the mic with
see
you.
See you on the radio.
We will see you next week.
Music playing, how do you make it last? How do you keep the song from fading too fast? How do you lose yourself to someone?
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.